What is the difference between a good preacher and a good communicator? Now, let me define the term preacher. Anyone who declares the Word of God, I am considering a preacher. It doesn't have to be from a vocational standpoint. It can be a one-on-one situation between two Christians, or a Christian and a non-Christian in an evangelistic sense. But anyone who communicates or speaks the Word of God, I am calling a Christian or a preacher. What is the difference between a good communicator and a good preacher? Sometimes the difference is nothing. There are preachers who speak the Word of God and do so in a good communicative way. They have a voice that is pleasant to listen to. And you probably have some favorite preachers, maybe on the radio or something, or TV or whatever, that they have a pleasant speaking voice. One that I can think of offhand is a man that's been here a number of times in the past, Dr. Bob Shelton. I could listen to that man speak for hours. And if he preaches for an hour, it seems like he goes for about 15 minutes. Just has that quality of voice that you just want to listen to. A good communicator will have a command of the English language. And some preachers have a command of the English language. I'm working on it. I said from the pulpit a couple of years ago, I can remember saying it, that Carol and I have been working on enunciating the letter G on gerunds and participles, words ending in ing, and we're doing real good. That's about the response I got back then, too. I can remember Mike sitting here. He got it right away. He busted up laughing, but not too many other people did. A good communicator can be a good preacher. But a good communicator may not be a good preacher. And a good preacher may not be a good communicator. Might not have all those qualities of voice and diction and all those other things. But as long as he's proclaiming the Word of God, he's a good preacher. And even communicators, no matter how good they are in communicating, if they're not sharing the Word of God, they're not preaching. Makes all the difference. What does God call us to be? Communicators or preachers? He calls us to be preachers. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I can't share the Word of God with another because I'm not good at communicating. Don't have to be. In fact, believe it or not, the Apostle Paul was not a good communicator. The Corinthians, that letter that we've been studying for the last couple of weeks here, and will for probably the rest of this year in our Sunday evening services, said of Paul, he writes a pretty nasty letter. He's not much to listen to. He's not a good communicator. Yet, he proclaimed the Word of God. And a preacher, whether vocational or otherwise, anyone who shares the Word of God with another person has some abilities that all the communicators in the world don't have. I want to share four of them with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the first ability is found here in the first three verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, that's communication, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Can you imagine a person who is giving a speech standing and shaking from head to toe? How that would be received? And yet that was the apostle. He came to the Corinthian assembly in fear. Well, go back in the book of Acts, as we've been doing on Wednesday nights. You will recognize that in his second missionary journey, and as well as his first missionary journey, every place he went always caused problems. I mean, there were riots and uprisings, and they threw him out of town. They tried to kill him, and it was kind of a Murphy's Law type of ministry. Whatever could go wrong did go wrong. But he was faithful. And I think coming to Corinth, he was probably little concerned what was going to happen there at that city. He was there in much fear and trembling and weakness. Not much in the speech department as far as the communication goes. Not with excellency of speech, not with philosophical thought that, wow, this guy really is intelligent. But it says here that he had the testimony of God. Do you know what that is? That's truth. Whenever someone communicates the Word of God, they are communicating the testimony. What God says is true. And you know what? Whatever God says is true has always found itself to be true. It always works. God is a God of truth. This morning in our study, I gave you a couple of examples of some truth that the world has bought into that really aren't truths. I mentioned abortion, and I mentioned the gender issues and the behavioral issues. I want to give you another one tonight that the world has declared, or many in the world have declared to be true, that really isn't. Climate change. Now think about this for just a moment. When has the climate not changed? Has there ever been a period of time when year after year after year it's remained exactly the same as the year before? Has there ever been a time? The fact of the matter is, every year there are minute changes in the temperature of the world. It has been changing since day one. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. Climate change is nothing new. It's always been doing that. But here's the problem. The world today, for the most part, is saying that our climate change is going to cause our extinction. Could this world end contrary to the plan of God? And you see, the world is saying that the climate change that is going on today is due mostly in part to man's polluting of the environment. Let me ask you a question. Back in the 1950s, 1960s, how many environmental regulations were in force? In fact, was the Environmental Protection Agency even in existence back then? For all practical purposes, factories could dump whatever they wanted to in the air, in the water. Cars had no emissions. They just did whatever. Is the regulation of our environment more stringent today or less stringent than it was back then? Well, the answer is obvious. It's far more stringent today. So why wasn't climate change an issue back in the 1950s or 60s? Why weren't the temperatures changing as they're changing now back then, when there was more pollution back then? Could it be that our world is wrong on this issue? That what is going on is the way God decreed that the world would continue through time? You see, whenever someone proclaims the Word of God, they are proclaiming truth. And Paul says, when I came to Corinth, there was only one thing, one truth that I wanted to know from you in your spiritual lives, and that is that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I don't care what else you're going to tell me. If you don't get that one right, it doesn't really matter. This is the testimony of God. God says, believe on my Son, thou shalt be saved. And you know what? It works every time. That's the testimony of God. When you share the Word of God with another person, you don't have to worry about whether the science is going to back you up or not. God says, this is true. And if it's not, take it up with God. That would be an interesting thing to see, wouldn't you? Someone stand before God and say, hey, look, we've proved you wrong. I think I'd pay to see that one. Here's the second thing. It's found in verses 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not in, with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Whenever anyone preaches the Word of God, they are displaying the power of God. God's Word changes things. The key to its activation is a person's faith. Simple as that. Now, my job here tonight is to make you believe. How am I going to make you believe? What can I do to make you believe? I know. I'll shout! Or I'll speak in a very soft. Please, oh, come on. Marv, please believe. I'll jump up and down. I'll use 10-foot long words that sound so impressive that you'll say, my goodness, what else can I do but believe on what? He's the most intelligent person on earth. Wow, not one amen, I'll tell you. I set myself up for that. Paul says, when I came, I didn't have to use the enticing words. I didn't have to jump up and down. I didn't have to shout. All I had to do is to share with you the Word of God. For you see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I speak, you hear, faith can be generated. Now, you can choose not to believe if you want to, but you can't believe apart from hearing the Word of truth. All that's necessary is that a person proclaim the Word of God. And there's opportunity then to see the power of God. Think about this story in John chapter 11. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Mary and Martha were sobbing because their brother Lazarus had died. He was in the tomb for 4 days. His body was already decomposing. And both of them said to the Lord when he arrived on the scene, oh, if he had only gotten here sooner, our brother would still be living. But, well, we know that he's going to rise on the last day at the resurrection, but what can you do now? To which Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. So he goes to the tomb. What did he do? Well, the first thing he did is he got out his chemistry set. Then he found an electrical outlet so that he could have at least 120 volts to plug into the body of Lazarus. He's alive! He's alive! He simply spoke these words, Lazarus, come forth. Three words. Well, what can three words do? Resurrect Lazarus from the dead. Whenever anyone proclaims the Word of God, they have the power of God to accomplish great things. Thirdly,
verse 6.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, the word perfect here does not necessarily mean a moral perfection or an absolute perfection, but has the idea of maturity. And I think that the idea here is we speak the word of God for those who desire to mature, to grow in their faith. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Not man's wisdom, even the higher ups. That's not the stuff we're proclaiming. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love them, or loved Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul is saying here, whenever someone communicates the Word of God, they are communicating mysteries of God, which man cannot find out by natural wisdom. What he's saying here, specifically he was saying about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who from the very beginning of time was ordained to come to Calvary and there die. That was determined. God had determined that before time ever began. And if man would have ever comprehended that, they wouldn't have crucified Him. But they didn't know what they were doing. Do you realize that God has a plan for time? The things that happen aren't happening just by chance or coincidence. Well, that doesn't mean that God is necessarily causing everything, but that God, in His omniscience, knows what's going to happen, how things are going to respond. Isn't that right, Becky? We had a little demonstration in Sunday school this morning. But anyway. Oh, come on. God is working out His plan. Nothing in time surprises God. Oh, I didn't know that would take place. Oops! Do you know God has never said oops? It's not in His vocabulary. God has a plan and He's working His plan out. It's interesting that Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says that God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time. In other words, at the perfect time. Well, how's the perfect time? When is that? When God decreed it. Do you know Jesus Christ is going to come back again at the perfect time? We don't have any idea when that is, but it will be the perfect time, I guarantee you. And all the armies later on of the world are going to come together and they're going to say, we're going to finally get rid of God. And He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. What are these guys thinking? He has a plan. And we can declare with absolute assurance and certainty that God has a plan for people's lives. In fact, the Scripture says that God is desirous that everybody would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that none would perish. That's God. Oh, there was a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. I thought I just heard it recently about constantly praying and abstaining from evil and things along those lines. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Oh my, you mean He has a will for my life? Yeah, He does. And it's declared in Scripture. Whenever we share the Word of God, no matter how poorly we may communicate it, we share the mysteries of God. And we share what God has done, is doing, and yet will do. There's one other thing. Look at the rest of this. For what man knoweth the things of a man, saith the spirit of man which is in him? How many of you know what's going on in my mind right now? That's twice tonight you giggled at me. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. But that's okay, because I have no idea what's going on up here either. Who knows what's going on inside a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God says, I will give you my mind on the things of life, that you might know how to live. Abstain from fornication. Avoid every appearance of evil. Rejoice evermore. These are the things that will make life fulfilling. These are the things that having come to faith in Christ, if you do these, you'll have joy that just is indescribable. And the world says, well, we're not interested in joy, we're interested in happiness. And if we can't find happiness, we'll just drink our way into happiness. Or we'll drug our way into happiness. Or we'll find some amusement that will generate happiness. God says, no, I want you to have joy. You can have the mind of God. That even when trials and tribulations come, you can say, wait a minute, I think Hannah said it. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's always there. When we sin, we have an advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have one who forgives us with an infinite love. I think I heard that one tonight. One that I was thinking about, God is long-suffering. For 62 years He's put up with me. Can you believe that? He meant it the other way. That's Carol and my favorite saying, that whenever something is iffy like that, we meant it the other way. Do you know there's not one thing in life that God has not given us some type of instruction for? Peter put it this way. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us to glory and virtue. All things pertaining to life. And we have the mind of God. We have the testimony of God that the Word is true. We have the power of God, that the Word of God can do things that are absolutely incredible. We have the mysteries of God that explains time, and we have the mind of God that can help us live within it. And when we share that, we can give all those things to other people, regardless of how great our communication skills are. Why? Because the power is in the Word, not the preacher. Isn't that good? Now, will you ever use the excuse again, oh, I can't communicate God's Word because I'm not a good talker? Then be a good reader. And just read it to somebody else. Let's pray. Father, use us effectively for Your glory. Whether we possess communication skills or not, may we be faithful preachers of the Word of God, that others might know Jesus Christ as Savior and grow in grace and knowledge of You. For Your glory, we pray in His name. Amen. Have a good week.